Romans chapter 8. Today's Father's Day, and I'd like you to think about what is your picture of God? How capable is your God? And Romans chapter 8, we'll read a few verses there. How many of you have walked across a suspension bridge? Okay, so you walked across a suspension bridge, and what is the first, and a walking bridge, not a car driving bridge, but a suspension bridge that you're walking across, and what is the thing you want to know most about that suspension bridge when you step out onto it? That's it. Is it secure? Is it firmly attached to the other side? You want to know that that bridge is not going to break. It's not like an Indiana Jones suspension bridge. It's missing half its things, or a National Treasure suspension bridge. You want to know when you step out on a suspension bridge that it will hold you up and it will deliver you safely from this side to that side. That's what you want to know. You want to know, is that bridge capable? I want to ask you, is your God capable? Is your God capable? Is God capable of getting you from here to there? And we're going to talk about an amazing, faithful God. So today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you dads. I am delighted to have four kids, and I can't wait to hear from them. I haven't heard from any of them yet today, and I can't wait. And I happen to hear that my son... This is just a secret. I just heard about this. My son Josh and his wife and baby have to drive up to Turlock today. They're driving right now. And Josh arranged with his mom. He said, do you think you and Dad could come down and we could surprise him for Father's Day? So don't tell anybody, but they're going to surprise me for Father's Day. And Lord willing. And I am delighted. I haven't seen Charlie Joy for 4 months. That's a long time for a grandpa and a little baby. Today is Father's Day. And Father's Day and Mother's Day bring lots of emotions to lots of us. Some of us had wonderful moms and dads. Some of us had very strained relationships with moms and dads. But we're going to talk about God our Father. And I want you to think about the question, is God capable? Is he capable of handling the stuff that is coming into your life? And does the stuff come into your life? It comes in like a locomotive. The stuff that comes into our lives. It is amazing the kind of things that we face. So on this Father's Day, it seems good to me to talk about our incredible Heavenly Father. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Let me say a few more words. It says who we are. It says who we are as believers, ones led by the Holy Spirit. The scripture says we are the sons of God. I wrote down we don't fear our Father. And sometimes our circumstances cause us to have fear. And sometimes our circumstances cause us to wonder, is God capable? Is this suspension bridge I step out on by faith, is God capable? Do we, and sometimes we do fear, but we don't need to fear our Father. We don't need to fear God. Rather, we love him, we honor him, and we realize that he loves us. We have been drawn by him to Jesus. We have been chosen, the Bible tells us. We have been adopted. We've been grafted in. We have received the spirit of adoption, Romans tells us. We are fully his. We belong to him. We are indeed his children. And you know, nothing changes that. And he loves you. I just want to tell you this story that happened to me and Josh. And by the grace of God and the snag of a paperclip, this story can be told. My son Josh was in a public outhouse up by like Silver Lake one day. And he was going to the bathroom. Now, Josh loves pocket knives. He has always loved pocket knives, and he was about 7 years old. And he happened to have his pocket knife in his pocket when he was going to the bathroom in this outhouse. You know what happened? His pocket knife fell out of his pocket, down the hole, into the outhouse. And he was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. And he was saying, "Dad, what am I going to do?" You know? Said, "Well, looks like we need to try to get that pocket knife back." And with the help of some fishing line, by the fact Josh is a fisherman, he loves to fish, and we hooked this little thing up. And when you took a light, you could see down there the reflection of the pocket knife. So I knew it didn't sink. It was there. And lest I tell you all the gory details, we were able to snag that little pocket knife and pull it up out of that and wash it off good, and he had his pocket knife back. And and you know, when our stuff falls in the stuff, when our life falls in the stuff, we have a father that doesn't say, "You idiot, what'd you do that for? You dummy, why'd you have your pocket knife in that pocket?" You know, we have a God who loves us, and he is willing to reach down into the stuff of our lives and rescue us. And I am so glad. I mean, I love my son Josh. I may have failed that day. It was by, you know, fishing line and a paper clip that we were successful. But God is always faithful, and he always loves you, and he is always willing to rescue you. You are his child, and the Bible tells us that over and over again. We are indeed his children. We are his children in our creation, in our conception, in his image, by his choosing, through adoption, through salvation. We have hope, we have security, we have identity. The Bible even says we have oneness with him. Jesus prays in John 17, "Lord, as we are one, make them" what? "One with us." We are one with him. We are indeed his children. We cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy," just like our brother Doug. I love your enthusiasm, Doug. I want your enthusiasm to rub off on me. I love your enthusiasm for Jesus. It really makes it real to me. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And a daddy, he's a daddy who always loves his kids. We are believers. We have a special, precious relationship with God, our daddy. If you would look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9 with me, it says this. Talking about our spiritual relationship, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." And the question is, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Yes or no? If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have recognized that he is the Savior and you're the sinner, that you need help and he's the helper, and he is the only one, the only perfect sacrifice for us, and you have said, "Jesus, I need you to save me. Forgive me for my sin and cleanse me and make me your child." What does he do? He does it. He does it. And it says, "But you are not in the flesh." See, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And let me just say to you, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. If you've not trusted him as your Savior, you just don't belong to him. And you need to belong to him. Put your faith, put your trust in him. In the next verse, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness," Christ's righteousness. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Continue with me. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." Now, we even referred to this verse last week when we were talking about John chapter 15 and 16, how we are in the Spirit. God has sent us the Helper. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. God has sent us the Helper to dwell with us all the time. And but it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors." That means we have a debt to pay, or someone that we owe. But our debt is not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, You put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's the phrase I'm looking for in this passage. He is our daddy and we are his child. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's us. What a precious thing it is that we have a Father who cares about us. You know, we as a church family have gone through a lot of loss, a lot of pain. And actually, this season is just our current season of loss. We have been through loss and pain and grief year after year after year. Because we have these precious relationships with each other. We care about each other. We love each other. And we lose, you know, we've had many, many deaths here. Yesterday, the preacher Bob Plank, who is here, said, he quoted a scripture from the Old Testament. He said, it's better to be in the house of the mourning than it is to be in the house of feasting. That only happens because we're in the Spirit. And so it is actually, it's a precious thing. Yesterday at Laura's service, it was a precious time for the body of Christ. We just had the privilege of sensing the Holy Spirit, of hearing the truth of God and his hope in his eternal life that he has offered to everyone who will trust him. And I think, Tony, there were probably some folks who weren't Christians there yesterday. Yeah, and they got to hear. They got to see the goodness of God. They got to hear what was happening. It says that we are led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, we need you. And you know, it's funny, when people first started saying daddy when we're talking about God, it just felt weird to me. Call God daddy. But you know, the older I get, the more that's precious to me. Daddy, I need you. I need you. And there's a very precious word in this, and that's the word adoption, that we have been adopted. You see, when we were created by God in his image, way back in Adam's day when Adam was perfect, he walked with God. But then something happened that separated him from God. Sin happened in his life. And so now, the child of God was separated from God, and we are all separated from God. It says, then he regrafts us in. We were his by design and by creation in the beginning. Then we were separated by sin, and then he adopts us into his family. And we are adopted children of God. We are made by creation, by design, by God, we're separated, and then we're brought back in. Isn't that a great picture? And so it says, whereby we cry out, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. So I've got some notes here. When I leave them, then it's hard to get back because I can't remember where I was. I'm just going to read a few notes. He is our God, our Father by creation. Though we were separated by sin, he saves us, he redeems us, he keeps us, he helps us, he truly loves us. Our sonship is proven by the fact that he makes us his heir. Just follow me with this. Paul uses it. Let's just think about it. What does it mean to be an heir? It means you inherit what the Father has. We are truly sons, and we know that we've been truly adopted in when we realize we are heirs, the Bible says, and joint heirs with who? With Christ, Jesus. You know that your sonship, your child, the fact that you're a child of God, you know that because he has made you an heir to the estate. When he when it's time to divide the inheritance, you get your share from him. Amen. 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 We have all these gifts, all these people, all of us have gifts to you, be used by God. That's right. But just the sonship being nailed down. And a child, you know, if there's a family and there's adopted kids, and when the father dies, if nothing is given to the adopted kids, you say, well, they weren't really sons or daughters. Jesus says, when you're adopted in, you are an heir. You receive what everybody else receives. You are, and we are all adopted into God's family. That's just an incredible picture that God uses here, and to say we are his children and he is our father and he loves us. John? Beautiful. Yep. Amen. Great blessings now and great blessings forever. Yeah, beautiful. So I want us to learn about our Father, be reminded of his character and to whom we belong. So I'm just going to use a simple thing of F-A-T-H-E-R, Father, to talk about the amazing qualities of our Father. The truth is, again, right now we have a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of anguish. We need to understand that our Father God is capable. His abilities are completely capable of handling our needs. So here they are. Father, F, he is faithful through the ages. A, he is Almighty God. T, he is truly triune, and that's really important. That God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't serve three gods, we serve one God, and he describes himself in three ways, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it is very important. H, he is our helper, and that kind of ties in with the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to assign to him that he has many H words that could describe our God, but helper is incredible. E, he is our everlasting Father, and R, he is our Redeemer. He has purchased us back. So I'm just going to look at a few verses. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And some of you have electronic Bibles. Some of you have the paper-bound Bible. I would encourage you to bring your Bible. I'd love for you to, you know, maybe you have it memorized. I don't. And I love to get familiar with my Bible. Even after 35 years of doing this kind of stuff, I'm not familiar enough with it. And I just love to have the book right here. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, actually 6 through 9, I'm going to talk about our faithful God for just a minute. Now, this is talking directly to Israel, but his faithfulness not only applies to Israel, it applies to all believers, all people who come by faith. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than all the other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you. By the way, the word Lord in your Bible, mine is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Is it the same in yours? The Lord Jehovah. Do you know what the word Jehovah means? We're going to look at that a little bit. It means self-existent one. I love that. It's eternal, everlasting. Because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. By the way, that's faithfulness. He keeps his promises. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh and king of Egypt. This is some years later, and God has established his love and his faithfulness. And you know, by the way, this is Father's Day, and in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God says to the dads, he says, fathers, teach your children about the faithfulness of God. I can't emphasize that enough. I want my kids to know God is faithful. I want my kids to know that God keeps his promises. I want my kids, Jamin, Joshua, Jonathan, and Juliana, I want them to know that when God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. And it says in this passage that the Lord brought the people of Israel out of bondage. And then he did a zillion things. Well, almost a zillion things. He had all those plagues that he saved Israel from. And he opened the Red Sea and he fed them and he gave them water from a rock. And he kept their shoes from wearing out and he kept their clothes from wearing out. And he went on and on and on. And then there were children born who weren't part of that scene. And you know what it says? Fathers, tell your kids what God did. Now, the admonition is to fathers, but mothers too. And I praise God for my wife who has told my kids and been a partner with me in telling my kids who God is and what he has done. And whether you're a dad or a granddad or where you can tell your, you can live, you can show your kids how faithful God is. It says, I redeemed you from the house of bondage from the hand of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. I'll tell you, that is a faithful God right there, and I am so glad about that. Faithful means trustworthy. It means to build up, to support, to fasten. It means firm, to trust, to believe. It has the idea of stability, of security, of steady, of truth. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and I'm just going to say it instead of turning there, but it says, you know, God is a God who keeps his promises. He is a God who cannot lie. He is always truthful. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5, it tells how he will be faithful to establish you and to guard you from evil and from the evil one, that we can be confident in him. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I am glad God is faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. He's faithful when we're not faithful. He is faithful. It is his character to be faithful. Praise God. What do you got going on right now that's really hard? Yeah? What do you got going on that's really hard? What do you got going on that you're questioning? What do you got that's happening that you think, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this anymore? God is faithful. The second thing, God is almighty. So F-A-T-H-E-R, he is faithful, he is almighty. Now, when I thought of almighty, I don't know what word you think of in a current context, but I thought of the Hulk. Now, the Hulk's been around long enough that you've seen cartoons, even if you're older, of the Hulk. Now, the Hulk is a human, well, kind of human thing, the Hulk. And right now in all these Avengers movies, if you've seen any of those, the Hulk is big and monstrous and strong and able. And I thought, and then I looked up the word, and literally it means to be burly. I thought, what a great description. I mean, I wasn't too far off when I said the Hulk, you know? That your God is almighty. He is completely capable. He is powerful, impregnable. It has the description of most mighty. The Bible says God Almighty. That is the description of God, that God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is capable of anything and everything. He tells Abraham in Genesis 17:1, I am the Almighty. In Genesis 37, he tells Jacob, I am God Almighty who keeps promises. In Job 33, it's interesting. It says that he tells Job that his very breath is from Almighty God. His very breath, his very being alive is from Almighty God. God is almighty. He is capable. I love that idea of being impregnable. You know, you think of something that can't be broken into. When you need security, when you need help, when you need God's strength, you have a relationship with God Almighty. F-A-T, our Father is truly triune. Our God, our Father is God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God in the flesh, and God the Holy Spirit. We've been looking in John. Would you turn to the book of John for a minute, please? John has so many pictures of the triune God, and I would just like to look at two of those. In John chapter 5, verse 37, the triune God. It's an interesting little passage of scripture, but let me just read it. It says, verse 37, and the Father himself, these are Jesus' words. I love to say that because it's true. Jesus is saying this. He says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. Just picture this interaction between the Father and the Son that's going on here. Okay? He says, the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. Then he jumps to the other side, talking about the unbelievers. He says, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So there's this idea that, okay, there are unbelievers. They're seeing Jesus. They're not believing in him. But there's this interaction happening between the Father and the Son. We know that we're to believe in God. But the Father says, believe in the Son. I just want you to see what the Father and the Son are saying about each other and how the Father and the Son are both to be believed in. Why? Because they're both God. It says, verse 39, he says to the Jews, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So he's saying, you know, you guys are scholars, you know the book, but you don't know the God of the book. And then he turns the tables on him and he says, those are the scriptures that speak of God. Those are the scriptures that speak of me, Jesus. They speak of Messiah. That's amazing. These are amazing claims. These are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Who's the giver of life? God is the giver of life. Who does Jesus claim to be? God. He is the giver of life. Now, turn to John 16. One more example of this triune God. So we are to believe in God. We're to believe in God the Father, believe in God the Son, and we believe in God the Holy Spirit. But these, the Father and the Son, are who we're talking about right now. In 16, verse 13, this is kind of an amazing little passage of Scripture talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just watch how they connect. Verse 13, however, Jesus is speaking. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus speaking about sending the Holy Spirit, and the Father is going to send the Spirit. Actually, the Father and the Son are both attributed with sending the Spirit in different places. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Son. For the Holy Spirit will take of what is mine, the Son's, and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has and that are the Father's are mine, the Son's. Therefore, I said to you, he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine, Jesus' words, and declare it to you. And I just want you to see this cycle kind of thing that's happening, where the Father is sending the Son, and the Son is sending the Spirit, and the Spirit's only saying what the Father and the Son have said, and the Son glorifies the Father, and the Spirit glorifies the Son, and you have this beautiful cycle of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They speak one message. They all glorify each other as God. All honor one another because they are God. God. H, and God is our helper. Romans chapter 8, when you go back there, we were already there. Go to Romans chapter 8 again. You know, this is really significant that God is our helper. The Holy Spirit is described in many ways. The Holy Spirit is described as a comforter, when the comforter comes. I'm comforted when I'm gathered here with you guys. Yesterday, I was comforted as we were talking about our sister Laura, and we were gathered as the people of God. But sometimes when we need comfort is when we're all by ourselves. I find it easier to be comforted when I'm with you all. I'm reminded, I sing about the goodness of God. But I think it's when we're all alone that it's really nice to be reminded that God is the comforter. You are not alone. Ever. It says that he is the parakletos. I don't know many Greek words, but I've heard that one my whole life. Para means to come alongside. And the kletos has to do with calling. It's the one who is called alongside us on our journey. It's probably where that first the Footprints poem came from. Lord, in my hardest times of life, there was only one set of footprints. And he says, child, it was in those hardest times of life that I was carrying you. That's why you only see one set of footprints. The Bible says that God is a comforter, that God is a paraclete. He is the one that comes alongside. He is an intercessor. He prays for us. He is our counselor. He is our advocate. He is ever present. He's always here for us, a consistent helper. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, just look at those words. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I'm just going to make a distinction. That has nothing to do with tongues there. This is the idea that the Holy Spirit himself is speaking to the Father, and he does that according to the will of God. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God for the helper. When the helper comes, Jesus says. When the helper comes, the disciples are distraught. Jesus is leaving them, and they've been with him. Man, if I was with Jesus, I wouldn't want him to go anywhere, you know? And he says, man, it is to your advantage. When I go, you're going to have the helper. The helper is going to be with you. My Father is a helper, and he is going to be with you always. Thank you, God, for the helper. Ephesians chapter 1, if you just want to turn back a couple of pages to Ephesians. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. All of chapter 1 is amazing, and the whole description of chapter 1 is a description of the helper. I'm just going to read a couple verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us, there's this word adoption again, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know what, I'm just going to, Ephesians 1 is just amazing, and there's all these great things, but I'm just going to tell you it's a description of our helper. John 14, 25, the helper is our teacher who brings all that Jesus, God the Son, has shown, and he's the one that teaches us those things. The helper has filled us to be able to witness, Acts 1 says. The helper covers us and protects us, Romans 5, 5 says. It is from the helper, the Holy Spirit, that we receive joy, Romans 14, 17 says. Okay, so we have F-A-T-H-E. Our God is everlasting, never changing. Genesis, there's a whole bunch of verses. Abraham speaks of God, of the Lord, and that he is everlasting, our everlasting God. And by the way, this is where that word Jehovah fits in. Capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That God is the self-existent one. Kids forever are asking us, where did God come from? If God made everybody else, where did God come from? He is the self-existent one. He has always existed. He is eternal. He is everlasting. I'd love to hear your description of how you tell your kids where God came from. We just trust him. We trust his word. The Bible clearly tells us he has always existed. Everlasting means always, eternal. There was a description in the dictionary that I didn't quite understand. It said time out of mind. It was like in our world of thinking, we have time, but he is time out of mind. He is perpetual. The end, you're in Romans or close to it. Just go to Romans 16, where this verse is used. You know, it's interesting. We often have examples from the Old Testament. It's important that we see how these qualities are in the New Testament as well. In the very last words of Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And would you just think about the suspension bridge and God being capable while we read these words? Now to him, verse 25, 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you. By the way, that applies to everything in my life. To him who is able to establish you. According to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, Jesus is always central. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now is shown to you, made manifest to you by the prophets, scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, the self-existent, perpetual, everlasting God. So you will be obedient to the faith, to God alone who is wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God is everlasting, continual, trustworthy. You can count on God. God establishes you. His word is eternal. Your hope is established on eternal promises. All right, one last one. R, Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, God is our Redeemer. I love it in Job chapter 19. When Job is talking, he had been through so much pain. So many trials, loss, death, devastation. What did Job have? What did Job have? Yeah, he had God. He had a faithful God. He had an almighty God. He had a helper. Job had God, and he says, I know that after all I've lost, all these earthly things I've lost, I know that my Redeemer lives. and that in my flesh I shall see God. Amazing words. I know in all my pain and loss, I know my Redeemer lives. The word Redeemer means to redeem, to buy back. It has the idea of the deliverer, to purchase, to ransom. You know, we sing so many songs about ransom, that he has ransomed me, he's bought me back. You know, we talked about in the beginning how God created us, and then through sin we were separated from God. And he paid the price to purchase us back. Think of that little twice-bought boat story. I'll tell you that sometime, not today. Hadn't thought of that, but we were. And he paid the price. And by the way, he was the only one that could pay the price. He was the only one that had the ransom price big enough to pay. I'm sorry? The Lamb of God, who is the ransom for our lives. He is our Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Anna was looking for Israel's redemption, their Redeemer, in Luke 2. 1 Peter 1 says, "We have a precious Redeemer, a perfect, only capable Redeemer, the precious blood of the Lamb." So, God is your Father. I just want you to know that he will always be faithful to you, that he is God Almighty. Nothing can beat God. F-A-T, that he is the triune God, and he is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each one of those minister to you in very significant individual ways. H, that he is our helper. E, that he is eternal, everlasting. And R, that he is your Redeemer. It seems like we get bombarded in life. Now, the truth is, we here in Somerset and the surrounding area have life pretty good. You know, we get to go home and we're probably going to have some food today. And we're probably going to have a bed to sleep in tonight. And we probably have family that support us and love us. We face difficult things. But we have brothers and sisters in this world today who are dying for their faith. They have the same Father. And they're trusting in him as well. It really is a happy Father's Day when you think about who our Father is. Deuteronomy 4 says, tell your kids. They need to know about your Heavenly Father. Psalm 78 says the same thing, an admonishment. Tell our kids, tell our grandkids to live it, to show it. Because they need a capable Father to see them through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of your word. Thank you, God, for the way you teach us. Thank you, God, for being a faithful Father who keeps his promises. Lord, you do reach down in the stuff of life and you help us to be rescued. You don't mock us for our struggles, but you are the faithful God who is with us through our struggles. Thank you for this wonderful church family. God, we do pray that you would help us with some of these simple things like getting this playground done for VBS. Lord, we're not sure how that's going to work, but we need your help. Comfort our grieving friends, Lord. Thank you that you have promised to be with us. We love you, Daddy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And we are done.